I'm Munire. I come from the south of Germany and I'm Muslim.
I'm Catherine and I'm a Christian and I'm from Birmingham.
I'm Anna, I'm from Germany and I'm a Christian.
I'm Elodie, I come from France and I come from a Christian family, Catholic family, but I don't really say that I'm Christian. I would say I'm a believer.
Here you see that Christians and Muslims can pray together. I think this is essential because you don't see it in our homes or in our community. It is not a common thing to practice. And here we make this experience that I can sit beneath my Christian friend and we find prayers that we can make together. Also, they can come to our prayers and look what is like the Muslim prayer. I heard of many of the Christians, they said to me, we were intimidated to go to a mosque. And I heard it from so many and I thought, why is that? And I think that they watched us, how we pray. Maybe they would go when they are home, they would look up a mosque and they would go there now with a friend or alone. And they have the courage maybe now to go there. And I think it's such a nice experience and talk with people here.
Do you think that there's something that the mosque can do?
Maybe they should be more present in the public. They are not so present like in church. We talked about it a few minutes ago. When I go to a city, I always go also to the church because it's so nice, the architecture is so nice. But also it's like it's very open for everyone. It's very easy to go there. But most of them have open days and you can come and visit.
And I think what this weekend, that we like the experience that we're having this weekend, highlights that it's so much more than just visiting another's place of worship. Like, this is all about relationship and building those kind of grassroots relationships between people of other faiths. And yesterday we looked at the document that was published in February by, it was signed by Pope Francis and the Grand Imam. And like, I look at that document and it's two men in a very high positions that have written that document, but. And even here in Teze, to be fair, it was analysed by a priest and an imam, two men. But what this weekend gives us the opportunity to do is to discuss as young women what that means to us. And that's kind of relational stuff is, I think, what's like super important and powerful when we think about interreligious dialogue.
I was one of the people who said earlier I wouldn't go alone, unaccompanied to a mosque. But I think part of what you said is right. No, where I live, you have the sites, no, that you, the tourists come and visit, and churches are beneath them, and mosques hardly. No, for example, when I was in Lebanon earlier this year, there's like this huge mosque is one of the main sites there, and they promote very much all the tourists who come there and go inside and look at it. And where we live, it isn't handled like this, but maybe you're not integrated enough yet. No, maybe it's because of that, because it's this traditional that the Christian faith is the traditional country faith of Germany, and then maybe this needs to develop.
Also, what you said about personal relationship, I think it is so important because, yes, you go to a mosque, you talk with the imam or the preacher, but you don't need this when you have your neighbors, for example. Or what I really liked here, I was in many interreligious dialogue, and mostly it is like you have a program, you go there, you listen to the preacher. But what I really liked here, that we, after the program, we go in small and talk in small groups, and so we can connect with each other. I think this is really valuable and really the essence of interreligious dialogue. Well, because you know the people, how you see, oh, she's a Christian, she's a Muslim, she's like me. We have so many things in common, and it is really another thing to see that than to listen to a lecture from both sides. That is also important. I don't say it's nothing, but I think it is another level, it is another quality to talk with people eye to eye or face to face. So that is the part I really liked about Teze.
I do think there's also a challenge in that the people that have come here to this Muslim Christian Friendship Weekend are people that are already very open to the idea of dialoguing across faith difference, and it's how we engage with people kind of beyond that circle to take that conversation further, because it's almost like we're having a discussion of already converted people to this idea of having relations, and the fact that we've got so much to learn from each other that actually we need to go further and kind of broaden the circle. But obviously we have to start somewhere, and this is a really, really positive step.
For me, that's very important to can have a relationship heart with heart, and not only on a mental level and on a theological level. And this is why the works in small groups without any leader and without any adult is very important for me. And on this morning we even had a little group without any man. That was interesting. Yeah, for me this is what is really important. I was a bit annoyed yesterday when I was in a workshop presented by a man with a lot of good volunteer, but for me he was talking about details. And the differences for me were just details. And this is only mental, only the interpretation of the text. This is what divides us. And for me, this is not what is important for me. For me, what is important is how can I be in a communion with other people, and with I don't care finally what is the details of their faith. What is interesting for me is how they experiment this. How do they feel this?
Do you mean the similarities or the differences? Text and the religion? It is not important, or
what is interesting for me is how you live your faith, and so how you, if it's important for you, I mean something in a text, if it's important for you because you will feel it, this will be interesting for me. But if it's just a dogma, you know, and something which is written, and so you follow this because it's written and because it's used, I just don't care, in fact, because it's not life for me. It's just mental division.
It's like the higher academic level stuff as opposed to the real lived experience. And like we were talking about hospitality earlier, and the first question was for us to that we shared in a group was giving an example of a time we've experienced hospitality, and that kind of real lived experience that we were able to share is so much more powerful than kind of thinking about what hospitality is and the root of the word hospitality on this kind of higher academic level. And that for me certainly is something that's much more valuable, and I get much more from that than from that kind of other level.
Powerful, yeah. But I also think the theoretical, the intellectual level is also some kind of important, because you can, it is a base for some Christians or Muslims can't start interreligious dialogue because of the interpretation or of the text. But when they see, okay, there's an imam and a pope, they are signed this paper and this have a theological ground, it is in the religion based, I think it opens, gives a space and a grounding for interreligious dialogue. I don't think I think it's important, but not as important as the things you said, or the experience of the people.
And I guess the challenge is that we just don't get stuck in the academic and bogged down in all of that. It's good that we go that one step further. It's really, really important.
Yeah, 2 years ago, I met an very interesting man here, and he always said we should leave this theological discussions to the academics, and he also didn't like the term interreligious dialogue, but he said we young people, we should do spiritual sharing our spiritual experiences, how we experience our faith. And I think that sums it up pretty good, no? Because of course, it's very important that the big leaders of the religions approach each other and have these theological discussions. But how much do we know about it? And we can discuss, of course, but I think it's much more important sharing about our life and how we live it and how we feel about our faith.
Yesterday in a presentation there, Preacher Day, he talked about many levels of dialogue. So there is this intellectual one, then there is in our lives, dialogue in our eating together, living together, or hospitality is one of them. Then dialogue in spirituality, like when we pray together in church and mosque. And these are the many facets of dialogue. And what is for me important, I can't say it. For one people, for someone, it is the intellectual which inspires him or her, or the other is spiritual level, or maybe the interpersonal level.
For example, also this morning, talking about hospitality, we discovered that our understanding of hospitality and was like, for example, you as a Muslim were much closer to the other Mediterraneans, no, or Eastern Mediterraneans. You had the same culture of hospitality, and we who live more north, we had a different one. And the separation was more the region and less or the religion. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes, of course. It was shown in our group. It is, yes, and I mean hospitality is grounded in both religions. Some live it, some don't, and it had influences in the culture. And you see, there was a Christian girl who lived in Bosnia. She was Christian, but her culture was the same as mine, but our faiths are different. You see that culture has a very big influence on us. Culture, you can have the have another religion, but you can share the same values. It shows that to me.
For me, that was really interesting also to hear an imam, because I realized that finally, even if I have Muslim friends and I got the impression that I knew a bit Muslim religion, I realized that no, finally, there was so many things I just didn't know, and I was really touched and inspired by what he said. In my approach, I'm not really attached to where does from which faith does come from the people who speaks. For me, it's does it touch me? Does it fit to me or not? And I was more touched by what the imam said than by what said the priest finally. And that's okay. It doesn't mean that I'm against Christians. It's just a share. And for me, what is a bit hard is to find my way into this, because as I can be touched by every kind of religion, finally, it's how in my daily life I can live this, how I will practice, and how can I invest myself in a community.
Yeah, that's another reason why I haven't been to a mosque in my country before, no? Earlier we also talked about projecting our standards into new things, no? And for me, churches or parishes, they are a community and welcoming community usually, but so you go to the church because you belong to the community. And so when I went to the synagogue once, for example, I went there with the friend who belonged to that community and introduced me and showed me and let me participate in the prayer. I guess being part of the community is also a very important part of the faith.
I had the same experience with synagogue. I don't have problems to go to church because at school I come from a region where are many Christians, and the Christian religion is also lived in the daily life. In school, on the first day we go to church, and I always went with them, so it was very natural to go to church. And after Tizi, I have a want to go. I was so long time not in a church. I will go and speak with the people. But with synagogues, it's the same for me. I was intimidated to go to a synagogue because, you know, the Muslim and the Jewish, it's difficult, the relationship. I think we are thinking too complicated, because when I went there, it was through. It is cold, and I came from Stuttgart. There is a house of Abraham where three religions are studying together. They meet together, make programs, and in this program they had an open synagogue day, and I went with this, and alone I wouldn't go. But when I went there, I saw it is not so difficult. It's the barriers are in me. And I live in a very tolerant country. I learned from that experience, okay, I have to be more courageous and I have to go beyond my, what is, you say, comfort zone. Yes, I have to leave the angst, the negative thoughts, and have to be more courageous. I learned this about this experience. I'm an open-minded person. I don't have any prejudice. I had Jew friends, but I didn't trust myself to go to a synagogue. I not alone, but I wear a headscarf, so I thought, okay, maybe they would think I'm a terrorist or something like that. So, but it really helped me.
What's the point? Just for me now, going to a mosque, no? Open mosque day for sure, but I don't know, I'm projecting from my experiences. I mean, it's not about the building, right? It would be much more interesting to meet young people and discuss with them. So if I just go there because now I decided I will go there, that's probably not going to happen. Or maybe it will, maybe something very amazing will happen, but...
Not about the building, but about the people in the building. You want to connect with them, you want to discuss with them about topics, about meet with them, maybe small talk, you don't know. And I think it helps really to get away from prejudice, to be more relaxed with another.
I think we have a lot of prejudices where I come from about mosque. No, we even have here things like, oh, even Muslim women aren't allowed in the mosque, so I would never get the idea going to a mosque. No, I mean, there are some mosques where there are separate spaces for women.
But there, most of the time there is separate rooms for praying, but you can go to both areas.
Yeah, no, I know that now. I'm further than that, but that's just what people are hearing. That's what people are thinking.
I just would like to say, I think that the building is also important, and it shows how the religion is viewed and represented in one country. You said in some countries where Muslims are a majority, mosques are beautiful buildings and tourists go to visit it. Yesterday the imam said that for him the document signed by the Pope and the Grand Imam could go further, in the sense to say that the Christian world and the Muslim world just do not exist anymore. It just doesn't make sense to say Europe is a Christian world and Middle East is a Muslim world, because today they are Christians and there are Muslims. Of course, they are majorities and minorities, but they are the right to be represented just with simplicity. And it is not a danger for the country or for the culture of the country if we just authorize to build a mosque with a beautiful building which is viewed just because there are Muslims who go there and need a place to pray. And this is a subject, political subject also, because we refused Turkey to come into the European Union. One point was because of the culture, because there was a majority of Muslims in Turkey, and so it wasn't the same culture than than the rest of Europe, where there was a majority of Christians. It doesn't make sense. Still a new division.
Yeah. I think this is the past, and the future is we can't think in categories now. I grew up in Germany. I'm Muslim. My parents are Turkish rooted, but I am socialized in Germany. I have also German or European or Western culture in me, as also my Muslim heritage. But I don't want to think in this category, because you have now Muslims who are European. And we have, it's right, we don't have now the Muslim world or the Christian world. We are one big village, and so interfaith dialogue is so important for the future, for living together.
I think that's really a way to think. This is a mental constriction, as you said, and if we can just destroy this mental constriction, we could just go against fear. For example, if I think, okay, Middle East is the Muslim world, as a Christian, I can think that I would be in danger, you know, if I go there. So if I choose the place where I will go to travel, I won't go in those countries. So I could not meet people from these countries, so they couldn't be interreligious dialogue or just intercultural dialogue. And so finally, it's more and more division and more prejudices and more fear.
But you have Muslims in your own country, you know, in your neighborhood. It is not far away. You don't have to think, so I have to go to this country. Yes, of course, because another culture, you want to open up. But there are also people from these countries who live in your country, who came as refugees, who are new and have this origin culture. But also there are people who grew up with you, who are Muslim or Jewish or something, other religions, but shared with you the same values or same socializing, you know. And you don't have to look so far. It is near our neighbor, our friends, our... it is not, I think, so we make it so complicated for us, but it is much easier than we think.
Yeah, but in my country, I feel comfortable. I feel safe. And I think I realize when we talk that idea of a Christian world and of a Muslim world, in my country, I come from France, there is a majority of Christians. And I have Muslim friends, and that's no problem. And there is a voice who in my head who says, Muslims and friends are no problem because they are used to French traditions. They are used to live in a Christian surroundings. But I have the idea that if I go in some countries, there are laws that I don't know, laws who are linked with the religion. And there are some extreme practices. And as I'm a woman, I know that in some countries it's not advised to go as a woman to travel alone. For me, that's
extreme. I also wouldn't go to some countries because of safety. Is it Muslim or not, or Christian or not? I don't look for the religion. I look, am I safe there?
Actually, I'm not afraid. Yes. And on the contrary, I live in a very atheist part of Germany, and okay, I am afraid because with my friends I wouldn't talk about my faith, what I think about a certain topic, I don't know, like at a university. At my current, I wouldn't do that because the subject I've been studying before, there were some Christians and they were quite, they were doing a lot in their parish also. And many of the others were speaking very unnice about that. Yeah, so there were big discussions, and I just didn't want to be part of that. So, but for example, I'm in a sports club, which is mainly Turkish. And with my Turkish friends, I love to discuss about topics of humanity or faith. And so, on the contrary, I'm not afraid of taking something away, but they're giving me a space to discuss this kind of things, which I'm not able to discuss in other parts. Of course, if I go to church, I can find people there. But like in everyday life, I would be much more open to discuss this with people who I know, yeah, they live their faith, they have thought about questions like I have, and enriches me even if they have a different religion. But it doesn't have to be like that for everyone. I'm just speaking for me. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for me, I don't feel afraid at all by Muslims in that I meet. In France, religion is a taboo subject. And Muslims speak more easily of religion than Christians. So I like to speak about faith and different way to live faith. So finally, I realized that those last years, I chatted more with Muslims about faith, I think, than with Christians, because you don't see immediately if someone is Christian first, and this is not a subject easy to speak about. And I'm curious, so I really enjoy to go to the difference, to open my mind, to feed me in my faith. But I remember there are some situations that was not fear, but that was, I wasn't comfortable. I remember I come from Montpellier, and there is a neighborhood where there are a very big majority of Muslims. And that was so strange, because I arrived there, I was in France, and I got the impression to be in a foreign country, to be the only white woman in this place. And I was like, okay, that was really strange, the inverse situation. And to imagine how can it be for someone who is black and arrives in an area with only white person. And even the culture was present. I went in a bakery, and I just wanted to buy something, and there were no prices. And this is like in Morocco, I think there are no prices because they negotiate the prices. And I'm not used to this. And that was, okay, please, can you tell me the prices of this and this and this and this? And that was really strange. I wasn't comfortable with this. And another time I remember in a coffee, you have only Muslim men sitting there. And I was uncomfortable as a woman to go there. I was, it's so strange. Why is it reserved, coffee just for... And I was thinking, but where are Muslim women? When I saw that, I was, but what's it? Where are they? So I thought they are in their home, and it begins the prejudices. But they are
tied up in the
Yeah,
kitchen.
Exactly. Or they are in the shops,
Muslim women want to hang out together.
They are also, we don't see them.
Or I don't know.
Yeah, we don't see them. And I saw men in the streets. It's in their culture to go in the street to chat, even in big cities. I find that a great idea. I mean, great culture to just go and meet your neighbors and chat with them. But where are the women? I saw only men. I was really uncomfortable with this.
Really interesting how you talk about your experience of diversity. So I live in Birmingham. I live alongside people of different faiths and cultures to me, and like I chat to people on the bus, and that's all very normal to me. But I do think in terms of having kind of an interreligious dialogue on a deeper level, even if that is just a dialogue of life where you're kind of intentionally talking to someone across a difference, like you kind of need to think about what the purpose of that is, because like it's obviously great living alongside people, and there's like such value in just like normal living alongside people. But when it comes to actually thinking, oh, what we're going to do here is dialogue, you kind of need to have a purpose for it. And sometimes I think that is the challenge, that people have maybe got different ideas of what they want to get out of it, or the challenge is knowing we've made these friendships, we've built these relationships, but what next? What are we going to do with them?
You know, I wear a headscarf, and so I can't hide that I'm a Muslim woman. So people sometimes come to me and ask me, why do you wear the headscarf? So it is made early on the experience with interreligious dialogue. So the people asked me, they were curious about my religion. And so I ask them back. No, I think I'm not afraid. I have to think more deeply about this. But first, it came to my mind. No, I would say I'm afraid of interreligious dialogue. But it is true that it's challenging. You are, when you talk with people about their religion, or when they ask you about your own religion, then you are also questioning your own belief, because it is a perspective that I'm a born Muslim, so I'm in a routine, and sometimes I don't think about my actions, my belief. It is such a normal thing. And then when someone comes to me and asks me, why do you do this? Why is that in your religion? Why do you believe so? So then I come to a position where I think, oh yes, why do I do this? I am in a position of reflecting myself. So it is such a positive way to approach your own religion in a new way. I think we have our own prejudice. We think we are tolerant, but when you talk with people, you discover that you're not so tolerant. You have your own prejudice, and it comes out in the conversation. What? I thought this is so-and-so. Okay, oh, it's a new thing for me. I think it is, you don't have to have a purpose, like you said it. I think when you make a dialogue, you have to let it open end. Things come out of it.